another episode of How to Business, a podcast by the Small Business Development Center in Chattanooga, Tennessee. In today's episode, Sarah and Lynn from our SBDC team will discuss task management, organizing your calendar, and how to not waste time.
Okay, so today we're going to talk about some tools that business owners can use for time management, including calendars, scheduling applications, list and task management tools, and some tools to help you stop wasting time. So Lynn, as you know, we work with a lot of small business owners, and one of the common things we hear is they're struggling to fit everything into one day. There's just never enough time, right?
Right. And, you know, this happens in our personal lives, but it rolls over into the small business. My background in my banking days, same thing. It was, you're not only managing the people, and when you're managing the people, you sometimes forget about yourself and the things you need to do. So a lot of this information helps you not only manage your people, but manage yourself, and more importantly, manage your life.
Yes, that's absolutely true, that it's really about learning how to be disciplined and manage yourself. And, you know, I've heard this kind of saying before, that there is enough hours in the day. We have tons of hours. We're just not using them well. So I hope the tools we're going to provide are going to help you all, maybe give you some ideas of some things you can research and maybe utilize in your systems. The first thing we're going to talk about today is having what I like to call your home-based calendar. So this is using some sort of calendar tool that's going to be where any other calendars you have will sync to it. Everything you have flows into this calendar. So some popular ones are Apple Calendar, Outlook, Google Calendar, or even using an old school planner. I have a lot of clients that prefer a planner. I like using a planner, even though I also use a technology-based calendar. These all have different features, and it really just depends on your preference. I love Apple Calendar. Tons of people I know love Google Calendar. Some features you want to look for, and just some things that these calendars can provide that you may not be aware of, is that you can usually integrate or create multiple calendars that will all show on the same application. So I know for sure with Apple and Google, you can have a calendar for like your kids' soccer schedule. You can have a calendar for client meetings. You can have a calendar for your workout schedule. They'll be color-coded, so you have a good visual of all the different, what you have going on that day. And they all work together, and you can make sure that their times don't overlap and that sort of thing.
Well, and also the great part is these are things you can share. And sharing the calendar, I know it's really important, especially if you have a number of people in your business or you have multiple locations, having that share feature where people can see what's going on with your world. And that was something that was very important to me. I can remember when Outlook first came out, and it changed my world totally, because everything I was doing was, I was an old, write it down on that old school planner, which, you know, I still do to a certain extent, but that share feature that I was able to do and that planning feature it was game changer.
Yeah. And I'll say too, I'm going to talk about a little bit about your personal, organizing your personal things as well, because when you're running a business, you have to juggle all of that. So it matters. But you can even share with your friends, and or like I have a calendar for my kids' schedule that you can share with like a spouse or a co-parent. That way, everybody's on the same page. So it really just kind of helps bring all the information together. So definitely take advantage of the share features on your calendar. Also take advantage of setting up recurring events. So if you have a meeting that's every Monday morning at 8:30, make sure you use your calendar and set that up as recurring so that it's always showing up. 6 weeks from now, you don't have something that comes up that conflicts with that meeting because you forgot to block it off. So these are pretty basic features, but I have a lot of clients who I feel like aren't utilizing calendars as much as they should, but they really, really can keep you organized.
Well, one other thing on it, and something that I've forgotten to do at times, if you have something on your calendar, as you said, recurring, or there's something going on, and let's say it's away from your office, and once you get finished with that, you need to block some time to get back to your office before your next task starts. Because how many times, Sarah, we had something go on, and then right behind it, we have a client meeting, and we're in our car, and you can't always, you know, you can't manage that effectively. So that's one thing. The other part, and I know you can speak to this as well, when you're first setting this up, it's putting together a really good plan of the things that you need to be doing, like you said, recurring. But one thing that I always did that I learned real quick was, when's your planning time for your next week, your month, whatever it may be? Maybe it's a meeting with your other employees. You're sitting with your spouse. Or you're thinking about your kids. It's putting that base calendar together and then kind of sticking to what that calendar is as much as possible.
You're saying like on a weekly basis.
Yeah. You know, for me, Sunday evenings were my best time. I had younger children, so you're managing that. I got them settled down, and I'm looking at my week. I have my recurring meetings. What I would do is I would pick a time. Sunday evenings were best for me, and I would go through, and I would look at my week. And, of course, I had my recurring meetings, things that were going on, things that had been put together. And then I would add in the things for my task list. Mm. What are things I need to get done that week?
Yeah.
And so I would put those in there. Then the other thing you have to do is manage it. So for me, Tuesday afternoons, I would look and I would go, okay, where am I? Have I had to move anything? Because as you and I know, life happens.
Yeah.
We have to move things. Something gets canceled. Something gets added. And did I get everything done? If you don't check in and really manage your calendar, you'll get to Friday at noon and you'll look and you'll go, I have seven things I haven't gotten done.
Yeah.
You get overwhelmed. You shut down. You don't get them done. So I would do that on a Tuesday afternoon. And then again, I would do it on a Thursday, like a Thursday morning, mid-morning. Again, a check-in on that. What did my week look like? And then if I need to move things around, are there things that maybe I don't have to get done this week that I can move to early next week based on what's going on? But managing that calendar, if you do these things, it will make it so much easier.
Yeah, I agree. I've tried to get into the habit of doing the same thing with my written planner. I still have my digital calendar that I have all my meetings and all my times blocked like I need to, but I still love on a Sunday evening or Monday morning to write it out so I can see the whole week visually. And then I can squeeze in my priorities. So I have my checklist of like errands I have to run or top important work items that I need to do. And then also like on a perfect week, I like to work out. So I have to look at my whole calendar because I don't have a consistent schedule. So week by week, I can plug in things that are important to me and just figure out where I can fit them in. And I find that when I do that, I stick to it.
You do.
Because I've planned it out.
And you made a great point. Planning time for yourself.
Right.
It's about managing not just your time, but managing yourself, keeping yourself engaged in what you're doing. So whatever it may be for the person, just stepping away.
Yeah. All right, everyone. So make sure you have a calendar of some sort. It doesn't matter. Don't waste time researching the most perfect calendar. Just pick one that you will use. I like having one that is in my hand all the time. So that's why I prefer an Apple calendar. Google Calendar, though, you can have a Google Calendar app that is always on your phone as well. Or Outlook, if you're at your computer a lot or you're comfortable with the Outlook app. All of these have app and desktop interface. Definitely make sure you are scheduling out your time each day. Speaking of scheduling, for those of you that have appointment-based businesses, I think this is an absolute key because when we integrated this into our office at the TSBDC, it was a game changer. And that is a scheduling app, meaning an app where clients can self-schedule themselves. Some examples are Calendly, which is a very popular one, Acuity, which we use at TSBDC. If you've ever been a client of ours, you have gotten our notifications. You have used Acuity from a customer perspective. I think Square has a scheduling application as well. Lynn, tell the listeners about our experience having switched from emailing back and forth 700 times to schedule an appointment to giving clients a link to schedule a time that works for them.
I have fallen in love with Acuity. It has made our lives so much better and our clients' lives so much better. When I came on board over 5.5 years ago, you know, it was a phone call and you're saying, will this day work? No. Will this time work? No. And you're back and forth. Or like you said, with 700 emails, we finally find 30 minutes a week from now. Now your client simply goes in there, looks at it, and they can see what your availability is that fits their availability. And then also our current world we're in, where we've got virtual options, in-person options, phone options, those are all there as well so that you can change those based on what's going on in your life at the time and your comfort level of what's going on. So for us, I would say we probably spent 20% of our time.
Oh my gosh.
At least.
It blows my mind the time that we wasted.
It was. And again, not only were we wasting it, our clients were wasting it. The other great thing, and I know you're going to talk about some of this stuff, was your client has an issue come up. They can simply click the button. They can reschedule.
Yeah. So just from the user experience perspective, to give your customers a better experience, they don't want to have to email and have like an engagement conversation about what came over. They can just shoot an email, reschedule to a time that's convenient for them. One roadblock I see a lot of my clients hesitant to use something like this is they're like, I don't want my client to cancel last minute. You can set all these parameters. You can make it to where they cannot cancel 48 hours, 3 days in advance. You can set the time frame to allow a time that they have to cancel. Otherwise, they do have to call you or send an email and explain themselves if you want them to. So you can set that parameter. You can set parameters for how many meetings a day can be scheduled, how many hours per day that can be scheduled. You can set different meeting types, like Lynn mentioned, with virtual versus in-person versus a phone meeting. So many options. So don't be intimidated by it. Just get in there and play with the options. And it can be such a powerful tool if you're using it correctly and consistently.
Yeah. And the other great part for us is there's an area in all of these for notes.
Oh, yeah.
And where we use these, we have some questions and our clients put in there what areas they want to talk about. Because not always will your client, when you're scheduling a meeting, have what they want to discuss. So in this one, we get, you know ahead of time what they want to talk about, what's going on. And then if you need to do some research prior, you can do that. You can be prepared because, as we know, Sarah, 30 minutes or an hour goes by so quickly with people. So again, it's that productivity. It's that working smarter, not harder. As you said, there are many hours in the day. So let's make the most of those hours.
Yeah. So you can use that feature. You can create an intake form for your clients. I have a client that had a mobile detailing business, and I think this was one of the most clever ways I've seen this used. But we worked together and we set up a calendar where he was in one part of town on Monday, so only that appointment could be booked only on Mondays. And then on Tuesdays, appointments could only be booked in a different area of town. So that way he, as a mobile detailer, wasn't driving back and forth all over town in one day. He limited it to one part of town in each day of the week. And then his intake form was, of course, what type of car do you have? Do you have electricity? Do you have water on site? So he was able to answer the basic questions so he could get the job done.
Right.
And clients can just click a button on his website because, by the way, all of these ones that we've mentioned in most scheduling calendars that I've seen can usually integrate into whatever website platform you have to where you'll have a button on your calendar that will just say schedule now or whatever you want to say. And clients can just click on the button and it eliminates some of that friction and barriers for people wanting to get on your calendar, whether it's a new client or a 15-minute discovery call or just an ongoing client. You can also set these up to be recurring. We use it to give our clients homework. There's a field where you can give them homework. So if it's a legal appointment or you do some sort of consulting, you can give your client some homework for their next meeting. So absolutely take advantage of scheduling calendars. I'm trying to think if there's any other features that we haven't mentioned that people might want to use.
Well, one of the things that I want to mention is this is a better way for you to manage your time in that you're not spending part of your time trying to figure out what does this person want to talk about? What are they wanting to do? It's already there.
Yeah.
It's not only use. Once again, we talk about it's helping us. It's also helping the client.
Yeah.
And that's what's most important is taking care of your clients. It's good customer service.
Absolutely. And this is particularly helpful if you're the type of person or business owner that doesn't want to be on the phone or answering phone calls. This is a great way to eliminate having to have those phone call interruptions. So you can just email the inquiry a link, say use this link to schedule and answer a few questions. We'll have a 15-minute phone call at a time that works better for both of us. Another great feature is reminders. So you can set the app to send your client reminders. And this just makes your business look very professional. It's all automated. They can get email reminders. They can get text reminders. And also, did we not notice this in our office? Our number of no-shows decreased to virtually nothing. Like it, because people, they would set this appointment by via email months in advance. And then when the day came, completely forgot about it. So the app allows them to receive however many reminders that we set in the system. That's been a tremendous help, I think, for our clients. And it's a way that you can make sure you're not wasting time with no-show meetings.
It is. And it also, if for some reason your client, something changes with their phone or their email, you'll get a something, especially on the email, that, okay, that email bounced. There might be an issue there, so it alerts you. But you're right. If your time, let's say that you're a massage therapist, for example, obviously those blocks of time are your money, that's your livelihood. You can set certain things that say if you cancel, you know, less than 48 hours, you know, you pay a fee for that session or whatever. And again, that allows you to manage that. Your client, you know, they can't say, I didn't see my appointment, because they're getting reminders and it shows that they're getting those reminders.
Yeah. So I'll say some other like last minute tips on how to make a scheduling calendar really work optimally for you is one, learn what system works well for you. Learn what your capacity is. So don't just leave the calendar wide open, but you may learn in your business that I can only see, I have a massage therapist client and she says 5 hours is the most she can physically do every day without being completely exhausted. So she could set her scheduling calendar to not allow for more than 5 hours of clients a day. She might want to do just 4 hours so she has an hour extra where she can schedule appointments at her discretion and them not be auto-scheduled, something like that. Another thing I would say is make sure you sync your scheduling calendar with your home-based calendar. So if you're using Apple or Google or Outlook, make sure you're syncing that scheduling calendar so it shows up on that calendar. And what that means is your Outlook calendar will show up and block off time on your scheduling calendar, and your scheduling calendar will sync over and show up on your Outlook calendar as well. So that way you don't have one appointment on one calendar, not the other, and then you miss something. It's a very simple setting to go in and just make sure your calendars are synced together.
It's a life changer. It has been for us here at the center. Everyone should have some type of scheduling calendar, regardless if you have a ton of people scheduled. It still helps you manage your day.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, so aside from calendars to keep yourself organized, the next thing we're going to talk about are list management, task management, managing your things to do. So what are some good tools for that? One that I've dabbled in it, and I'll be honest, it's not my preferred method, but I have so many clients that swear by it and love it, and that's Trello. Trello is an app. It's multi-platform, so you can use it on the web. You can use it on a Mac or a PC. You can use the app on your phone. It works with Windows. Trello is kind of a list-making, I hope I do this justice, a list-making project management task organizer. So what I'm told that people love about it is that it's really great for collaboration. So I can make a list of everything that needs to be done for a project that we're working on. I can share this list with my team members. I can assign tasks to different people. So it's a very like collaborative tool. So this is great if you're doing any kind of project management. I'm thinking of ways even we could use it on our team, like if we're planning a special event or something, we can assign different tasks. It lets you set due dates. It lets you add comments to tasks. So you can say, I'm working on this, or I made this phone call, or whatever, to like keep up on the task instead of it just being a yes or no, this is complete. You can set up notifications so that it reminds you at certain times to complete the task.
Also, I would think, and because I have not done Trello, I have to admit, but I know on I know some others that I've used. It also lets you prioritize those lists as to high priority, medium, low priority, so that you're looking at the things. We're making sure we're getting things done in a order based on priority for your clients or for your team as a whole.
Yeah.
And that's very important to help people understand, okay, here are the things we most need to get done immediately and then manage the other things.
Yeah, if you're the one managing the project especially, you can kind of see where everything's at. You can move things up and down the task list to prioritize. Another cool thing is you can make multiple lists. So you could do multiple projects, for example, but you can do templates. So they come with a lot of pre-built templates for things such as project management, personal development. I read somewhere that like if you're doing a wedding planning checklist, it comes with like a default list. So they have all these templates already built for you. I'm the type that I would just want to go in and see what templates are out there to see what list should I have. I don't even know. You tell me. So this can be a great tool. From what I understand, it's a very dynamic app. It can integrate with a huge list of other applications. The obvious ones like Google, Slack, Outlook, Microsoft Teams, but I think tons of other different applications that like developers use and different types of industries use integrate with Trello. So it's gotten to be a real standard.
Well, and I would think, and this is the way some of the ones I have used work, it's also very important when you have multiple locations where people are.
Oh, yeah.
Where they can, you know, in today's world, small, you know, we're not just talking big corporations, but small businesses will have locations in different cities, people working remotely. You know, in today's world of people working remotely, not being, and we saw this for ourselves, not all being in the office together. How do we manage the list of the things that we need to get done? So this really can help manage that and help people understand without having to have phone calls of what I need to be doing here, what's next on the list.
Who is going to follow up on that?
Right.
Did he want to call? Well, I thought you were going to call.
Yeah.
I can see, like, if your team has, like, a weekly meeting, you could have a list where everything's assigned, there's due dates, so you always follow up on things. You don't forget about them.
Yeah. And, you know, the thing, you know, we use Slack, which we, you know, we've enjoyed, and we have a network of 15 centers around the state, and being able to have something like that that will integrate with something like Slack, I think that's very, very important for managing through processes.
Yeah. And like you mentioned when we were talking about calendars, it's all about prioritizing your tasks. And for a lot of us, it's seeing them in front of us, because when we are pulled so many different directions, the phone's ringing, someone needs this is on fire. It's nice to just, when you get back, when you look at the app, when you get to your desk, whatever it is, or you get a notification and you see like, oh, yes, I forgot that this was the priority. I have to call this client right now because that was a priority on my list for today and I have to do it.
The priority side of it, I do want to mention, this is an area where you get your buy-in from your employees. You put things together and you help determine what are the priorities of the office or the business or whatever it may be. And then everybody buys in. Therefore, now we're ready to make this happen. There are no, you know, well, I didn't know that this was the right thing that I need to be doing at the time. No, we've agreed to it. Here they are. And everybody works through them. So I think it helps you manage your people.
Yeah. Yeah. And I guess businesses could use it if you're just a solo person. It will work. But I think kind of the thing that people love about Trello is the collaboration aspect of it. So that's kind of the gold standard from what I can tell, from what I'm hearing around people. There are some other options. These are more note-taking options. You certainly can use them for lists. They just don't have that dynamic collaborative list task management that Trello has. But there's two most common is Notes, Apple Notes, which I could talk about this all day because I'm a big user of Apple Notes.
Me too.
Oh, you too. Okay. We'll talk about that in a second. And then Evernote is another very popular one. So just real quick, just the differences is that Notes are an Apple-based product, and they are not cross-platform. So Notes is only going to be on your Mac, on your iPhone. So it's only iOS, whereas Evernote is cross-platform. Right. So you can access it from a website. You can access it from an Android or a phone. So that's a little bit more, it's got a little bit more variety in that sense.
Well, it is. But I will say, you know, regardless of what you're looking at, using something here, even if it's just for you, because again, notes, honestly, I use personally.
Yeah.
Now, do I have some things regarding business? Sure. But for the most part, I do that. My children are grown. It's just me at home. But it still impacts what I need to be doing. It helps me stay on point. And again, as you said, yeah, we have a lot of hours in the day, but are we using those hours appropriately? It helps me. It has made a big difference.
Yeah, and speaking of using those hours appropriately, the reason why I wanted to include this in time management is because I think people lose their information and they spend a lot of time re-digging up something they've already researched or a list that they already made. That's why I like notes. And I'm gonna use the word notes, but this also applies to Evernote because I believe they mostly have all the same features. Evernote has more features because they are so cross-platform, but they all have these basic features that I'm going to share that I think will help people maybe utilize it more than they are. Because when Notes first came out, it was very simple. It was literally like a notepad. You could just type on it. Now you can use Notes. You can add bullet points. You can change the font on it. I like to always insert links. Like if there's something I want to go back and look up, I can put the link to the website. You can add pictures. You can add PDFs. You can scan directly from the notes. So if you have a document, you scan it and it actually makes it a PDF and saves in your note folder. You can share your notes with people. I use this feature constantly. So if I'm going on a trip with friends, we'll make a packing list or a grocery list and we'll share it so we can all see what's on the list. You can do it. You can use this in a work environment too. Like you could make a task list if you wanted something really simplified. You can make a task list and share it with a team. You can, my favorite, because I have so many notes, is the search feature. So I use it. I have to search my notes. Like, I know I wrote a note on this somewhere, and I can just search by keyword to find the note. And it's like the notes is literally my RAM. It's my memory for my brain because I cannot remember anything at this point, it seems.
Well, you know, one of the things that we have clients that will say this, and I've said this, is, oh, I'm a multitasker. No,
they say your brain physically cannot multitask.
No, we're not multitaskers. I'm sorry. If you say you're a multitasker, I'm sorry, you're not. You have to have somewhere in our world today, we're having everything bombarded at us, coming at us from all different directions. Something like this is necessary. And you're right. I get all my different categories of stuff and I'll forget what heading I put on it, because I'll usually have a heading, like you said, vacation or whatever it may be, and I'll forget. So I'll type something in and it magically appears and then I can move on. And so I hate to use the word again, but each one of these things to me can be a game changer for your business and for your life.
Personal, adding it all together, it's like a holistic approach to managing all your time, your personal and your work time all at the same time. So if you're someone, I would like in Notes or Evernote too, if you're a person who's always has a notebook with them taking notes, this can replace that. And it's a digital version. So I'm trying to brainstorm some like notes that I have. Like I have one note that has all my travel documents in it, like a picture of my driver's license, my passport, my vaccination card, all those things now that you might need when you travel.
That's a great idea.
Your boarding pass, you can put all in one note, so it's always there. I mean, you know, sometimes my insurance company will be like, send us a copy of your license. I'm like, boop, got it right here. You can do list of, I mean, I just always have an ongoing like shopping list.
Let me mention this also, because I remember when this first started, I had someone in my office and they were looking down their phone. They looked up at me and they said, oh, by the way, I am listening to you. Yeah. I'm taking notes. I'm not surfing Facebook or Instagram. I'm actually listening. So if you are taking notes while somebody is talking with you, I would at least preface to them and say, I'm taking notes here, because sometimes people will wonder.
It looks like you're texting.
Correct.
So. So that's another way you could use the notes. If you are at a presentation or lecture or some sort of personal or professional development, you can take notes on your phone, but then I can take pictures of the slideshow while I'm there. I can record and include all that in the notes. So it's not, that's a little bit more than what you can do with just a spiral notebook, is that you can include the pictures, you can write down any links that the presenter might tell you about. One other thing I use notes for is when I read books and I take notes, or sometimes I'll just take a picture of the paragraph and like mark it up. I'll put circles and highlight on it. And then I can always go back and search like, oh, I thought I read a book about this, and I can look it up on my notes, find my cliff notes of that book and refresh my brain about it or share it with someone if that's what I was intending to do.
I know Madison in our office are big book readers, and you can read all those books, but I guarantee you, there'll be a quote and you will be like, okay, which book did I see that in? Whatever. This gives you an opportunity to take that, come back to it and go, okay, yes, this is so impactful. You can share that with your clients.
So impactful that I'll forget this 5 minutes later.
Well, there you go.
But that's just, you know, how my brain works. So again, you can use notes to kind of organize your brain. Use that to be your memory, store everything in there, and just know that it's very dynamic because you can search through it. It's very multimedia, so you can include, it's not just typing words. You can use lists, you can use bullet points, you can share it, all those things. So I highly encourage you to just dabble with it, get used to it. Once you're used to it, you'll probably be attached to it. I think there with Evernote, there may be a free version, and then maybe there's a paid pro version. So check that out. I have a lot of clients that love Evernote as well. And my understanding is it has a lot more features, which you may like. You might like something more simple, like notes.
Well, and the other thing I want to mention, because you said there may be a, you know, a free version. Look, I want everybody to save money where they can. We don't need to spend money arbitrarily. However, sometimes you get what you pay for. I always talk about there's a direct return on investment. There are also indirect return on investment. Sometimes this is an indirect return on your investment of how much time, how much productivity you are helping with these. So don't be a cheapskate.
Yeah.
Look at them. Find the right one. Find the right subscription if you need to that fits what you're doing. And make it happen.
And maximize all the features.
Yes.
Learn it. Spend 5 minutes to save yourself 100 hours by using all the features of all of these apps we mentioned. Okay, lastly, I kind of want to talk about apps to help you stop wasting time. So I have two in mind. One of them that I have been using, one of them I should be using. The first one is a password manager, such as 1Password or LastPass. So what I love about these is, never mind the security, just for security purposes, these store all your passwords in like an encrypted something. I don't know, but it's very safe. It's a much more secure way to store your passwords. But where it actually saves me time, it knows all my passwords for me. But also when you're having to create a new password for a website, it automatically pops up and it's like, here, use this suggested password. So you don't have to spend 10 minutes trying to think of a clever password and then like writing it down on a piece of paper or whatever you would normally do. It saves me time from having to think of passwords. And I spend a lot of time counseling, and it's kind of become this joke with every time I have a client that I'm doing QuickBooks training with, almost always QuickBooks. Sometimes if we're looking at their Square, anytime there's an app, usually the first 10 minutes of our meeting is them trying to figure out their password to log in. It's become so common that the client will be apologizing. And I'm like, actually, I expect this of my clients now, because it's become like something I notice every single time, and no one knows their passwords.
Well, it's our life.
Especially when they're under fire, I guess.
Yeah, it's our life. And, you know, if you think of all the things you have to have passwords, and you don't want them to all be the same. Yeah. You're told in this world, with especially with all the breaches, look, you don't want this to be your child's name and a one and an exclamation point and, you know, something really basic like that. that's, you know, great. So And try, like you said, trying to figure out what about not used in the last 6 months, 9 months, 12 months.
Or you want to use that same password to use for everything. And they're like, oh, but wait, you need a punctuation. And you're like, ah, that's throwing me off. So you waste time. And like, but really when you don't remember your password, then you get locked out of your account. Sometimes you have to wait a certain amount of time to log back in. Then you have to request a password. Then all this time is being wasted just to log into an application. So what I love about, I use 1Password, and at first it seemed very intimidating to me, and I wasn't sure how it would integrate with all the different devices that I use. But if you have a phone, there's an app, whether you're Android or Apple, and it runs like in the background of everything. So almost any website that you go to or any other app that you use, it will automatically pop up and be like, looks like you're trying to use a password here. Is this the one you're trying to find? And it'll usually suggest with awesome accuracy which password I need, and it'll autofill if I want it to. And then if you're on Google, there's like a Google plugin that you download so that if you're using Google Chrome, it's just like a button you push and it will automatically integrate the password service into your Google Chrome. And then the same with Safari. So it works on any platform. Yes, it takes some setup. Yes, you have to go in and load your passwords. Yes, I spent some time in the beginning changing all my passwords to the secure passwords, but now it saves me a tremendous amount of time, and I'm a fan. I put it off for years and years and years and years, but now I can say I've been using it for probably a year now, and I'm a huge fan, and well, I feel so much safer. Yeah, I feel so much safer. Yeah,
saved you time and money over the long haul, so which is what this is all about.
So the other one that probably a lot of us should be using is called Rescue Time. I came across this in my research for this podcast, and it is an app. You know, a lot of our phones, I think Android and iPhone, has like a calculator that tells you how much time you spend on social media. Well, from my understanding, Rescue Time is a little bit more precise. So it tells you how much time you spend on each individual app. So you can see how much time, you might see how much time you're spending on Trello, how much time you're spending on Notes, how much time you're spending on Facebook, how much time you're spending on your email. And then you can really learn where your time's going. And then you can see, wait a minute, I'm spending too much time on the news app. So a lot of it's just awareness. So learn where you're wasting time. Now, some of that time may not be wasted. Some of that might be good, productive time. But you might just become aware of like, God, I had no idea I was spending that much time reading emails every day. Maybe I can come up with some sort of system to filter my emails or something. So Rescue Time is a way to just become aware of where your time is going on your device. So I thought that sounded really cool and could be a great way to help you stop wasting time.
I have an iPhone. So my iPhone, every Sunday morning at 9:30, it pops up and tells me my screen time, gives me some of that idea. I started managing myself to lower different things that at the end of the day are really not that productive. I started looking every week. I was like, okay, I'm down 16 minutes. I'm down 30 minutes. And I manage my time down by about an hour and a half.
Oh, wow.
A week.
And it's just awareness is the key, right?
It is. And it also told me, to your point, some of it is productive. But I need to redirect that time, not just lower some of it for my own well-being, but changing it from one, you know, one thing to another thing. That helped me do that. So for me, I haven't tried Rescue Time. I need to look at that. Yeah. And I will look at that. That has made things for me personally and professionally better, because we all get down the rabbit holes.
Oh, yeah. You know, I think not even the rabbit holes. I think, well, there's definitely some rabbit holes with TikTok and Reels, and you can just, you may never get out of them, but I think a lot of us just will pick up our phone and just automatically go to some apps without even thinking about it.
Oh, it's become second nature.
Yeah.
And you would think, I mean, I'm 61 years old. You would not think me to do that, but no, I said it's almost like an addiction.
It is an addiction. I think I read an article or saw something about it's every time you see like a notification ding or something, it's like a psychological like high five. So it's like we're constantly looking for these little like affirmations on social media. Yeah. So again, it's just like we got to stop that cycle. That again is a whole separate podcast of the social media rabbit holes.
Sure.
But check out Rescue Time. It can help you really keep an eye on where your time is going on your devices so you don't waste time. So I kind of want to end on this philosophy that I ran across a few years ago. I shared on my social media, usually about once a year, to remind myself mainly, but it's this concept of managing your energy, not your time. Like, it's time availability is not the problem, but sometimes it's the amount of energy we have in the day to do the things we really want to do. So there was a Harvard Business Review article written on this where they did a study and they just made some recommendations basically of just how important it is to keep your energy level up so that you can be more productive, because we waste a lot of time. So it is basic things like meditation, exercise, getting social time with friends, eating well. You have to figure out for yourself what is draining your energy.
Yeah.
And then avoid those things.
Absolutely. And, you know, for us, and I think one of the reasons, I can speak for all of us, one of the reasons we do what we do is it allows us a great work-life balance. And having that balance, that energy, what sucks the energy out of you? What gives you the energy to do the things you do and to do them better? And the things we've talked about, each one of those things allows us to do that. You know, the thing I want to say to people is, be realistic in what you're putting into every day. When you start trying to pack so much into one day, you're setting yourself up for failure.
It's counterproductive.
It is. It's like setting goals that are not realistic.
Yeah.
Okay. Same thing with what you're setting up for your time management. Be mindful of, you mentioned the massage therapist.
Yeah.
She physically could only do X number of massages per day. Otherwise, her body is going to break down.
Yeah.
And if it does, she can't work.
Right.
And so it's the same thing with us, whether it's maybe just mentally putting these things. And so being realistic in what you set up and how you do them, I think is so important. And the energy that you mentioned.
Yeah. And just look beyond the obvious things of eating well and drinking less and exercising. But for me, spending quality time with friends really restores my soul and my spirit and gives me like energy. We learned that if we see too many clients in a day, it's exhausting because it's a lot of talking and it's a lot of energy used to like do all the research and everything we do for our clients. So with every business owner, like, know your limits, know your boundaries, set firm boundaries so that when you are working on your tasks, they're far more productive.
Well, and as you said, if we see too many clients, we can't serve them in the manner we need to. We need time to decompress, to look back on what we talked about. You know, we put notes in for each thing that we do, but if we don't and we have too many clients, it all jumbles together.
Yeah.
And we're not doing them a service. You're not doing your clients, you're not doing your employees or your coworkers any service by doing this either.
By overworking. Correct. Yeah. So I think that applies to all business owners.
Yep.
So, well, great, Lynn. I think I hope our listeners got some good tools under their belt. Maybe check them out. If you're interested in helping get set up with some of these we have used, some of these we have not, but we can certainly help you get them set up or figure out a way we can get them worked into the systems that you already have in place.
Thanks for listening to How to Business, a podcast by the Small Business Development Center in Chattanooga, Tennessee. If you liked this episode, please share it with a friend and be sure to subscribe on Spotify, Apple, Google, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll see you next week here on How to Business.